So Achan, I've been hearing about different people's experience, and the reason anyone, even me, follow any teachings is basically because it makes sense to us. It makes sense in the way that considering everything, this one just seems real, seems true. So when I was listening to, say, Krishnamurti, it made sense to me. When I followed Goenka, it made sense to me. When Sundara was listening to Acharputathar, it made sense to him. When Betty was listening to the monk she was listening to, it made sense to her. And when Roti was listening to Achan Prani, it made sense to him. And it made so much sense that when he heard you, it did make sense in the beginning. And Sundara, it didn't make sense to him in the beginning. But at the same time, from what Sundara reported, he said, your advice to him was, anyone can say anything. And what he remembers you saying also was that, in addition to that, you said, but one must think for himself. But today, what would you say to us?
The same.
But because we were thinking for ourselves, that we followed other teachers also. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference?
I think that when we listen to the others, you just, that person says like this, the other says like, not the word of Buddha at all.
So actually when you say consider for ourselves means with reference to the Buddha's teachings?
Because Buddha couldn't pass his understanding to anyone. Just tell them the truth, teach the truth all the time. For the person to understand, to consider by oneself whether it's right or not.
So it must be your words only apply to someone who at
to
least have come
only
to the conclusion that the Buddha is the right
only one.
The holy right one, yeah.
That's why the Eightfold Path, it starts with right understanding. So, yeah, we all said when we had our former teachers, oh, yeah, that sounds good, because we were steeped in wrong view and so forth. So we didn't have the right, correct teaching from at that time. We didn't have the correct teaching. The only way that understanding can grow is if you hear the correct Dhamma from the beginning. Whenever the conditions are there for you to hear it. Okay? So when you can hear the correct Dhamma, that's when the understanding and the conditions to create, to develop understanding, will start to accumulate.
10 years ago, I thought that Acharputathar had the wrong view.
10 years ago, I also thought
right,
that Acharputathar...
Right, okay.
And I also thought that I had found the correct teacher and
It takes time.
Just now, we came to the conclusion that in order to know if the teachings are correct, is to check with the teachings, the original teachings. And I started thinking that I never read anything, I only listen to you. You also, if you read, you read Achan's books, right? You won't read this thing. But then I started thinking about the Kalama Sutta. Isn't that also a good guide to check whether we're going wrong or not?
What is the Kalama Sutta saying?
The Kalama Sutta is where the Buddha told the people of the Kalama who to believe and not to believe, and based on what criterion, what is correct.
That's the name of the sutta where that stuff. I was just thinking of that, and I forgot.
But of course, even then, who's to know? So in the end, it all comes to Panya, whether it arises or not. That's all, isn't it? If Panya doesn't arise, then it's not known. Nothing is known. Then it's wrong.
Do you think that anyone can read Tipitaka?
You mean the whole Tipitaka?
Even just one word. Pamasankini, Kusala Dhamma, Akusala Dhamma, Abhyakata Dhamma. Can anyone read? Just read.
No, I have to understand.
They have to have some basic
understanding.
I have to understand.
First.
That's why before reading the Tipitaka, one should have the foundation of understanding of Dhamma, like the Dhamma in daily life and Abhidhamma in daily life. All are Dhammas, everything, every moment. All Dhammas, no one there. Even right now, this would be forgotten completely when the next life comes. Would you like to know your last life?
Yes.
It's now, for next life.
So, are you still interested in knowing your last life? See, what's gone is gone, what the future hasn't come. What is there, only that can be known. Yes, but something appears. There's a new Dhamma all the time, and that can be known. That's the only way Panya can know, is to know what appears. So, for Panya is wisdom, right understanding. So, for someone who has some confidence in the Dhamma, instead of being interested in what's gone and what hasn't come, there's interest in understanding what appears. So any time there's a question, would you like to know about past lives? That is like a test whether what you're more interested about, stories or reality.
Sir, understanding, knowing and thinking. Sir, how you differentiate both these three things?
Understanding and knowing, I think you mean experiencing, like chitta.
Exactly, I'm talking in that sense only, sir.
Understanding as in wisdom, which understands the nature of that moment, of whatever appears at that moment. And chitta, what you call knowing, let's use the word experience instead. It experiences clearly the object. Therefore, the chitta that sees knows clearly the visible object, but it does not understand the nature. Panya understands the nature of visible object, but chitta just experiences visible object.
So nature means the the characteristics?
Yes. It can be the particular characteristic or the general characteristic. The particular characteristic of visible object is that which is seen. The general characteristic is impermanent dukkha and not self. Acharya, what would you say about the chetana which arises with kusla and akusla chitta, which does not produce result, like now?
When it arises with kusla or akusla, it is by being kammapachya, which will condition the result later. Because there is chetana now to understand the teaching, and at moment of understanding, it is kusala, kamma, ready now. Talking, understanding, their teachings. So this moment can condition rebirth of next life or other life, we don't know. But any vipaka must be the result of chetana at level of being kamma. There are two kinds of chetana. One arises with each chitta. When chitta is vipaka, kamma condition chitta and chittasika, which are kamma. Which are the result of karma, the vipaka. So the chetana which arises with each moment is common. As long as it has arisen, it falls away. That's all. But when it is karma, that level which performs the function of killing or giving, depending on whether it's kusala or akusala, that could produce results. So there are two kinds of chetana. One is sahachata, arising with each chitta. But when it is the motivation of good or bad deeds, it is nanakkanika kamma. Different from sahachata, because that level can condition vipaka later. We don't know this life or the other life.
Nana kanika,
Kamma.
Is
the kamma at level which can produce result later.
Right.
But so, it also arises with citta. So it has, the at moment when it arises, it is sahachata.
Yes.
But when it produces result, it is nanakanika kamma.
And other than when sahajata and performing the function when it's sahajata, and nanakanika kamma when it produces result later on, there's also kamma pachaya which does not produce result.
Depending on whether it arises with vipaka, because it's the result, not the cause. So, like for example, there is seeing at this moment of seeing. See, there is chetana. But it doesn't produce any result because it's already vipaka of the kamma.
But I'm not referring to that. That is the kamma which is nature of vipaka. That when it's in arising with vipaka. But I'm talking about the attachment, aversion, small, that does not lead to deeds to the body or speech.
Mm-hmm.
That also won't bring results.
No.
So when...
But it is kilesa.
So the question is, that kamma, it is sahajata also, it is also...
Kilesa.
It is kilesa.
Kilesa, accumulated.
Okay, so it performs the function of accumulating. Can we say that?
Yes, because the citta, which is kusala and akusala only, are accumulated. The vipaka cannot be accumulated.
Of course, in faith, will can become strong enough to...
For example, asava doesn't condition any kamma. So it does not produce the result, but it is accumulated because it's kilesa.
Can we then say that kilesa is result of kamma?
When it arises, vipaka citta only.
Okay.
So at moment of being result, it is citta and chetasika.
Okay.
And also rupa, which does not experience.
But we can also that say that kilesa is...
Not kamma.
Is conditioned by kamma or is caused
kilesa
by kamma?
Kilesa conditioned kamma and kamma conditioned vipaka. That's why the samsara is kilesa, kamma and vipaka. Kilesa vatta.
But we know that kilesa is there with each citta. And
yes.
If we were to think about the kilesa as where it came from, what do we say?
From the moment it arises and falls away. If it has an arisen, it cannot be...
But how come kilesa is there?
Conditions.
What conditions?
Many. Pakattu, panisya, pasya. Whatever is there.
No, Acharya, I'm not saying the kilesa which is conditioned to arise as asava or deeds through body speech. I'm talking about...
Avicca. Without avicca, nothing can be kusala or akusala.
Just a moment ago, Achan said that there can be result of vipaka in this life or the next life? Not in this life, right?
That's why we have to learn how many cittas are there, and how many are vipaka, and how many are akusala, and how many are kusala, and how many are kiriya.
No, actually my question was that Achan said that kamma can produce
vipaka
in this life?
Any life.
But some kamma that you do in this life can...
It depends.
You can have the results in this life.
So how can you know this moment of vipaka is conditioned by what and when kamma in the past?
Yes.
That is why kamma is not known.
The
result of it cannot be known as well.
Right. And what about kamma in this life? Kamma in this life.
Okay. It's now not kamma.
Yes, but can it produce results in this life?
It depends. Who knows? Kamma can produce in this life, or next life, and other lives later. We don't know.
It's often broken down that in the Javana process you have seven moments. So the first moment, which is quite weak, that can bring results...
In this life.
In this life. And if it's not, it becomes what's called a hosi, it becomes ineffective. And then the jhāvanas from 2 to number 6, they can bring results at any time in samsara. And the last one, which is kind of the second week, is number 7, that can bring results in the next life. So it depends on the strength. The jhāvana cittas from number 2 to number 6 are the strongest, and they can bring results at any time in samsara. So this is the first one, in the first jhāvana citta, it can bring result in this life.
Can you know this moment of seeing conditioned by karma in what life?
But I think, Roti, the point is this, that it's the karma, the basic understanding is that karma is a deed that's done and must produce results. So when it produces result, who can say? It's by conditions, right, that it produces result.
Only when there are conditions.
By
otherwise,
conditions.
It cannot produce, because it can produce result only in this present life. But if no vipaka from this life, okay.
So, Achan, what you're saying is that if those particular karma which have the potential to produce vipaka in this life, when you're reborn in the disciple, that karma cannot produce result anymore.
The next life cannot be produced by the first jhāvana.
Jhāvana, okay.
But it can be for the last moment of jhāvana. Okay.
Maybe I'm asking that question because I have the idea that regarding punya, good deeds, punya, for example, giving cannot produce result in this life, right? The results of dana will be
as
in the future life.
Depending on what moment of jhāvana.
They call it ditta dhamma vedaniya kamma, so the dhamma in this very life can be seen in this very life, ditta dhamma vedaniya, that can be felt, experienced in this very life. But just another interesting area also that may be helpful too, that you will not always, you don't have to always receive the results of all the kusala kamma pata that you have performed, like the case of Angulimala. You know, he is a good example that in that last life he killed many,
Yeah, I understand that part. I'm not. My question is not about when. Like in the case of Angulimala, what you're saying is that all his accumulations that he had, finally.
All those bad deeds he did in the last life.
Yeah.
You don't have to receive the results because there are no conditions.
Right.
For him to receive results anymore because he's. There's only kirichitta. Kirichitta means no more conditions for rebirth. So we can experience results, and as Ajahn said, we don't know, like this one, we don't know what deed, what life, but there must have been a deed for us to be able to experience.
We don't know what we are experiencing, what's the karma that is producing our experience right now. That's not my question. That's not my doubt.
So what's your doubt?
My doubt is about karma produced in this life having results in this life also.
Can you know this moment whether it is the result of the karma this life or another life?
Right.
That's why in Tipitaka it says that karma cannot be known that at what in what life can produce result. Or this moment of seeing, who knows? What condition, what life, what karma in this life or other life, previous life? No one knows except Buddha.
So what about dana, Jan, dana?
Any kusala or akusala, not only dana.
Okay.
I mean, did you read somewhere that dana can produce results only in future lives?
Well, all the good things that you are supposed to get from dana, like for example also jhana. Well, the rebirth in the Brahma Lokas can only happen in the next life, of course.
No, that's the only exception, that when if it's the last javana, then it must produce result as rebirth in the next life. That's the only exception in terms of jhana. But how does that...
Okay. Now it was just like a vague idea that I had. So.
But it depends. When karma is so heavy, like Devadatta, next life, you call Anantariya.
That means if you kill your parents, you know, then it's sure that next life you're going to...
It means that it has to produce result next life, for sure.
And I was thinking of the case of Bimbisara, King Bimbisara's son, Ajatasattu. He had the accumulations to become Sotapanna in that very life. But because he had committed, it's called Garuka Kamma. Garuka means very heavy Kamma, very bad Kamma. The Buddha said in the Samanyapala Sutta, if that fellow, that foolish fellow, in many ways instigated by Devadatta, if he had not killed his father, he would have become Sotapanna. But killing his father was a condition for him not to be able to understand the Dhamma at that deep level, although he had the accumulations to become Sotapanna. So he's had to go and be reborn in the lowest world. His father was also a Sotapanna, so that was also very, made it even more heavy in a way, but it stopped him. That was the condition, just conditions that precluded him from being born, precluded him from understanding the Dhamma deeply, and was a condition for him to be born in one of the hell worlds for a very long time. Yeah.
You mean Ajatasattu?
Yeah.
Yeah. And King Bimbisara, his father.
I suppose that also there shows you too the danger of bad friends. You know, like we have a lot of mostly akusala accumulations. So he associated with Devadatta. And Devadatta, he had developed a rupa jhana. He must have developed a rupa jhana. So people who want to develop jhana, when you haven't got rid of kilesa at the level that you can do really stupid things, which Devadatta did. He encouraged him directly and indirectly to kill his father. So he eventually did that. Because
so is it the dangers of bad friends or the dangers of bad accumulations?
Well, both. Right. Both.
I was thinking about
Because he associated with Devadatta. He was very impressed. Devadatta appeared one day in his hand, like as a special sort of creature. And well, I just, perhaps not necessarily know, but one time Ajatasattu, before he was king, Devadatta appeared in his hand, or very close to his hand, and he was very impressed by the psychic powers of Devadatta. But Devadatta had also accumulated so much akusala, a really heavy, to the extent he wanted to take over the Sangha, he eventually wanted to kill the Buddha. But he had developed jhana, a rupa jhana. You have to develop a rupa jhana to have psychic powers like he had. And so he had a lot of wisdom, a tremendous amount of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that was needed to eradicate defilements. So it's always a good example to see that, yes, people want to develop jhana, but...
So what kind of wisdom was it then?
The wisdom that understands that there are certain types of akusala to reach the level he did that's dangerous, and it's not helpful for him to reach that level, but he didn't have sufficient panya to appreciate the level of... When the Buddha was talking about satipatthana, so there are many different types of kusala. So we know from old scriptures that sometimes there were yogis who developed jhana, but they destroyed vast tracts of cities and hundreds and hundreds of people just with one thought.
I mean, that you can see, no? It's still I. You see the danger of sense objects, sense contacts, but it's still I. So as long as this I is there, then all the other akusla, still, all akusla is still there, you know.
Kunsa Kendra's made a really good point. This Miccha, because of ditti, which you don't eradicate with high levels of jhana, gets in the way, and you can perform, you know, really heavy kusala on villages, whole towns, and even want to kill the Buddha, all these sorts of things. So you can see that even though you've developed jhana, it's all done with the wrong view.
It's not done with right view of the path. It's wisdom that sees danger of sensuous attachments. That's wisdom also, why not? But there's no wisdom that's accumulated to see that attachment is just a dhamma, right? Visible object is just a dhamma. So while you're seeing the danger of sensuous attachment, it's still me, right? Only it's my sensuous attachment. If a kusala is taken, immediately it's taken for my kusala. Right, my jhana, my concentration is still there. So long as this mind is there, for someone who's heard the Dhamma, we can appreciate how actually very evil that is. That means in spite of all the kusala, all the kilesas still being there, it can arise. So even Devadatta, seeing the danger of sensuous contact, seeing the danger of attachment to sense objects, he was defeated by his general ignorance and aversion to the Buddha. He hated the Buddha. So a lot of akusala is there. Although he saw the danger of lopa for sense objects, but it was still because it's his attachment, my attachment.
So what did the Buddha do to the Devadatta in past lives? In order for Devadatta to hate the Buddha so much.
Did Devadatta envy the Buddha?
Yes.
No, but it's a long history. It can't be just one life. The amount of hatred he had for the Buddha, I think, Acharya, I was thinking that was his main problem, his hatred for the Buddha. Otherwise, he didn't hate anyone else.
Buddha said about what life is the beginning of being hatred. Buddha didn't hate, but Devadatta, it's like two merchants of the trade, something like that. Yeah? Merchant, but Devadatta, it means a merchant and Buddha, and something like competition.
So there was performance and then there was the hatred, what was really burning him up.
Just like what we were talking about before, you might have, when you're in business with somebody, you have a bit of competition and then it's just it's a level of kilesa, but it gets, over lifetimes, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger till you eventually do something really foolish, like, eventually he conceived the idea of killing the Buddha. But I understand that at that very moment he conceived the thought of killing the Buddha, he lost all his powers, all his iddhi. They all disappeared from that moment on. But we can see that accumulation that leads from life to life to life. It just gets more and more and more till you do.
I mean, wouldn't you say that his hatred was for no reason, right? Such a perfect being, Buddha, he still hated him. Means that he couldn't help himself because so much accumulated.
But I'm not so... My interest is not so much in why Devadatta hated the Buddha. My interest is in what did the Buddha... I mean, if somebody hates me very much right now in this life, it means that I have done something to him in past lives, right?
Not necessarily.
Because we don't know what's the beginning at all. Right. Like many people dislike me now.
let me give you an example. Right. Very common example in people living today.
No, but Ajahn is saying something. You know, many people dislike her because she speaks the truth.
Right. So, but I'll give you another more a good example is that if you're living with someone, if you have a, you know, between husband and wife, so much goes on, right, that if they start distancing each other, sometimes just hearing the voice makes you angry. Not words, just the voice, or it triggers so many things, right?
Or just the name.
Just the name.
It builds up. The synapses get stronger. Yeah. At first it's like a machete in the jungle, but after a while the path is so clear and wide, it's just like that. Mm. And it's, people will say in lay terms, the straw that broke the camel's back. So, I mean, he must have envied Buddha tremendously to see someone get theirs before he got his.
So, Chan, we can see the value of understanding Dhamma also conditions other kinds of kusla. Would it be fair to conclude in a general way that understanding of Dhamma makes us a stronger persons?
Dhamma, panya, will lead to all kusala, all kinds of kusala.
Sir, one thing I want to ask. When a person is talking or saying something, at your level of the intellectual thinking, it can be said that what he is talking, what he is saying, it's a collection of accumulations?
I didn't understand what he asked.
No, he's asking that when a person, when you're listening to someone talk, can you understand that that person, whatever he's saying, whatever he's talking, is a collection of his accumulations?
And yours.
Yes,
and yours also in hearing, right? See, because panya, when it arises, when you, what does it understand? Sound as just sound, thinking as just thinking, seeing as just seeing, visible object as just visible object. This is what panya understands. And if there's no panya, then your own accumulations of kusla is thinking about that person. So same way, each moment of thinking is conditioned by your accumulations. Same way with that person, each moment, it's moment by moment, different accumulations.
And that is why we can, the most of the people are able to judge the other personalities.
Well, the thing is that, if someone is shouting with anger, his face is red, then we can safely say that he's angry, right? But actually, how do we know? By memory. By thinking, not by wisdom.
Sir, thinking is a nama.
Yes.
It's a nama.
Thinking is nama.
Good, sir. Sir, before 15, 20
minutes. Well, there's doubt.
yes, ma'am.
Because thinking experiences object while the rupa cannot.
But Ajahn, I've heard also many times you say that when panya arises, even when they not reach enlightenment, ignorance is less.
Nothing else can make it less.
So, panya, even when it's not enlightenment,
pardon?
Lessens accumulated ignorance?
Because you see that without right understanding, how can the enormous amount of...
So it's not all. It's not only that it eradicates, it's also being lessened with each
until
time.
Until it's completely eradicated.
So I wasn't wholly correct. So every time there's panya, it lessens the accumulated ignorance.
Do you have less ignorance now?
Not this.
Yeah, little by little.
Sir, how do you see mind, sir?
How do you see mind?
How do you define mind in this whole concept?
See, rather than defining,
understand,
which is what, right now there is mind, right?
Present it.
Would you say?
If you don't use that word, mind, what is there now? You didn't need...
My understanding is there. I'm able to understand the things.
Now, what is there?
Now,
if you don't use the word mind or any word at all, something
presence
there.
Presence is there.
What is that?
Presence.
For example?
Presence.
Senses, you say.
Is the seeing? Just talk about.
Presence of all the things are there.
Presence.
Like I can see, I can hear, I can feel.
No, no eye, but there is seeing.
There is seeing.
How would you say presence?
If you don't use any word at all, it's a seeing right now. Seeing now.
You are saying you don't. I said don't use any word.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to use the word seeing.
I'm saying word, I think word, W-O-R-L-D.
Word.
What is arising and falling away right now?
The realities.
Yeah, or yeah. Which one?
Exactly.
My senses.
Which sense? Well,
like I can
but
see.
But one
I,
at a time.
One at a time.
What are those senses? What you call senses, what are they?
These are the body senses, mind senses.
Huh? What are those, what you call senses, what are they?
In which I, one of the senses that I can, it's seeing, it's hearing.
Yes, but what reality is a sense?
You're talking about in sense of rupa and nama?
If you don't use any word at all, what is there? As a cat and dog, the same thing. We don't have to use the word seeing, but there is seeing. For sure.
Okay.
I mean, now we know language, right? We are all grown up. But as babies, they're still seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, right? So, same as you now. The baby sees, the baby hears. So now also they're seeing, they're hearing, same. So when a child is without words, without baby words. Does not know words. Even now, without words, it's still happening. So what is that, right? They're seeing. No need to use words.
No idea about that. Like dog and cat, it sees, no idea, no word. But that is the reality of seeing, for sure. Don't have to think in words. But now, there is seeing.
Yes, ma'am.
If you don't know that it's just a reality which is conditioned to arise and see and then follow it, no understanding, no thinking about it, because that arises just to see, only. No matter when and where it arises, in the underground or like worms and so on, seeing is seeing. No need to use it. It's not self, it's I or some words, because it sees, it has a reason to see, that's all. No wonder. This is the understanding of reality as not self. When it's not self, what is it? Rupa, that which cannot experience, or that which experience, which means seeing sees that which is seen, and hearing hears the sound it cannot hear, hardness, softness at all. See, and these are the absolute realities. Without the enlightenment of the Buddha, nobody knows. Because everything is taken for self, for I, from birth. Even there's no idea. Like wrong view, no view yet, but it's there. That is seeing, not the other seeing. So the seeing is me. See, wrong understanding. From eons and eons ago, until the enlightenment of the Buddha can understand that that cannot be taken for I or anything at all. The seeing cannot be taken for hearing, because hearing hears, experiences sound, no matter you call it hearing or not, it experiences sound. And it doesn't belong to anyone at all. Without shape and form, can you tell the seeing, horse, birds, cat, dog, human being, worms. So seeing must be only seeing. It doesn't belong to anyone, because no one can make it arise at all. It's conditioned, proper conditions, for just to arise and perform its function. So the reality which can experience, can know, Buddha said many words like citta, vinyana, mano, manasa, hatiya, and pandara. See, many words. Just to help people to think over it, that it's only that reality, not me, not I, because it's gone completely and never to return at all. It's like the rupa, when you cut it very, very little, what is your, what part?
Still, it's, you cut it very little, it's still rupa is there.
What is rupa? It's not because we call it rupa, but what is it?
It's a nimitta?
Not nimitta yet. Only one rupa, which is experienced, cannot be known. Whenever there is any recognizing or experiencing, many rupas, many realities arises. See how many people here as soon as you just open your eyes. But when you close, just close, where are they? Everything which is seen, gone. Who makes it? No one at all. Because if seeing does not arise at all, what is here now cannot be seen. So seeing itself doesn't belong to any world, anywhere, anyone. But seeing is seen, no matter we take it for heaven or hell or human being. But its nature is just that, nowhere. It doesn't need to go to heaven to see, but there are conditions to see. And we have the memory and idea that this is this world. What about animal? Does it have any idea? This is my world. But it arises to experience.
Ma'am, but idea is also one kind of situation.
What is situation? That's why we have to learn just one word at a time. Otherwise, it's our own idea. Not the truth of reality, which can be taught only by the Buddha himself. That's why we pay respect, great respect, when we understand his words. It helps one to understand whatever appears as reality. No one, no self at all. So we learn to understand the nature of reality, not the word, whether it's situation, happenings or what. There must be reality.
Nature of realities.
And what we take the whole life is only the nimitta. And memory just marks and remember.
Ma'am, is there any difference between the not-self and no-self? It's same.
That's your answer.
Yeah, it's same.
From understanding.
Okay.
No matter what you call it.
Yes, now it comes to same.
Yeah.
I have written it because I was very confused. That not and no, it's doesn't same.
Good question. Well,
actually, in terms of grammar, if you say no self, you're denying self. But at the same time, if you're denying something, is because that's something which you're denying has to exist, something like that.
I think that both are right.
Thing is that Akhil has been hearing this. In the days he's been here.
Right.
But no matter what we use, it must be meaning the same thing.
So, is that problem? Not self or no self? Because when it's not self, there is no self.
Yes. Yes. Sir, एक word और सामने आ रहा है. Ma'am, there is one more word. Tell me, sir.
So,
please.
So, what is self? What is self?
remembered self. Self is myself. And there, not self and no self are same. Myself should not be there, I should not be there. There should be no self.
Why do you say myself but should I would not be like, there? Why you say that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear the example, not the word. What is not self?
Yeah, Ajahn says that she would like to hear an example of what is not self. But
myself or self?
No. And why you say, that's my question, why you say myself should not be there?
Because somewhere it's my feeling that myself has got the I.
And where is myself? Where is it?
Myself, where is it?
What? And where is yourself?
After understanding, I don't feel my myself.
Is the I here and now and see and everything self? Or it's just the way it is? It's nature, sir.
Ma'am, it's nature, it's there, it's having the characteristics. It's supposed to be conditioned like this.
As long as there is ignorance, there must be the idea of self. Not understanding that. So that is the idea of it's me or mine or hers or his. But when there is the understanding of reality, it will lessen the clinging to the idea of self. Because whatever appears is conditioned to arise, to be different, and then follow it instantly. Can you stop?
No, ma'am.
See? Can you make it? So, where's yourself?
Say yes, sir.
So, in order to have less clinging to the idea of self, it's only panya, right understanding of that which appears as it is. So it's not a matter of going somewhere, trying to do something, and not understanding. So how can the idea of I can eradicate the idea of self? Only right understanding, understanding that this moment is conditioned very, very temporarily. Very, very short. Nothing can belong to anyone because it's conditioned to arise and then fall away instantly, never to return, not just only this life, in samsara. And if this is not directly experienced, what can eradicate the idea of self? Clinging to everything as me or mine, eons and eons, uncountable. Time, life, moment. So when we hear about the truth, we know who told us. No one except Buddha from his enlightenment. The one who sees Dhamma sees me.
Yes, ma'am.
He who sees me sees Dhamma.
But see Dhamma first. Because people in Savatthi or Rajagriha who didn't realize the great virtues of the Buddha didn't know at all who is that person. If there is no firm understanding of no one knows self, one cannot understand the teachings at all. One listens with an idea of I know, I listen, I understand. That is the wrong point. When there is the understanding from hearing, considering, then one listens to the teachings with more and more understanding of no self until it can condition Patipatti, that is a direct understanding of our reality by conditions, which is understanding from listening, considering. Not the others, Panya, can pass on to us. The Buddha cannot pass his right understanding to anyone, but he knew how to teach them by different ways. like ayatana, tatu, ariya satya, in many, many details. For 45 years, only 1 year, half a year, it's not enough. It's the ayatana now. Have you heard this word?
Ayatana.
Ayatana. Tatu. Ariya satya. Paramada dhamma. Abhidhamma. See? Every word conforms with the other word. Absolute truth. Nothing more than citta, citta-sika, which experience different function, different characteristic, and rupa. Nibbana cannot be known as long as this moment cannot be known yet. Not only from hearing, listening, considering, but from sattva-pirinya. When there is hearing, you know what's there. Even its experience is not yet the moment of realizing the truth which is conditioned to arise, to be that, and fall away. No self at moment of directly experience that. The seeing is not the hearing. They appear as different object at different time, without the others at all, only one at a time. It's clear. Otherwise, like now, it's not clear yet. It's only pariyatti. Begin to understand from hearing, considering, understanding, little by little. So without hearing, can there be listening? Can there be understanding? Can there be considering?
No, there cannot be, because the sound has to impinge the ear sense first.
So we begin to understand life. What life appears is through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind. With ignorance, not understanding them as they are. So where is Adama? Where? This is when. And what is where? Where?
Your answer was when, but every moment is when, but now Ajahn wants to know where.
And now.
Yeah. And here, see, and here everything is Dhamma. Seeing is here, hearing is here.
Seeing and hearing does not arise at the same place, right?
It arises at every moment.
But not at the same place.
Not same place.
So your answer was when to when, but where? Because seeing arises here, hearing arises here, body.
Right.
It's different places. So if we are pointing out where does it arise, you can say seeing at the eye.
It's eye sense.
Or if you're the what appears is visible object, then it's out there. That's also a reality. Visible object. If it appears to understanding at the moment, then the visible object is not the eye, it's not the seeing. It's a rupa that impinges on the eye.
And although it seems as a fused whole, they happen separately, but so rapidly, it does seem as a fused whole. And the brain is just simply rupa. And it's citta and citta that performs function. So it is referred to, the senses are referred to as the world, separate worlds, the world of seeing, the world of hearing, and so forth. That's the world, citta, cetasika.
experiences.
When seeing arises, it has to be kama vajra. No matter it arises, what we take for here or in heaven or hell or what. Because at the moment when it arises, it's nature. It's not higher level of its nature. It cannot be rupa vajra, arupa vajra, or this world or that world. It's just arise to experience. That's why it has to be only that kama vajra. No matter we take for in heaven or hell. At that moment, nothing is there except that which is seen and the seeing.
And at times when you say it's not higher...
It cannot be other level.
Higher means result of higher karma, kusala.
Because the lowest plane is the karma vajra plane.
So it's low by virtue of being result of lower karma, akusala or...
For example, even a kusala moment can arise in heaven, in Rupa Brahma, but it's bhumi, the level of citta, it's the lowest one, seeing.
So kama vachara citta is lower than Rupa vachara citta.
And Rupa vachara is lower than Rupa vachara by being bhumi.